And so, you know, we're trying to really figure out, you know, who is our base audience online, yeah. what is it they're interested in, how can we provide a service that
exactly,
and it's, you know, something that's never, you can never rest on your laurels.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes online.
Exactly. I mean, like, basically, yeah, like Nick said, it's all about building a community, right? Mm. And one of the most important ways to do that is just find out what people want to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make them feel part of the Tokyo Weekender.
Right.
Because in the end, that's essentially what the brand is all about, right? Like, from the very beginning, you know, Tokyo Weekender started out as, like, a free paper for, like, a very, very small gaijin expat community, like, back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, right,
yeah.
And basically, we're just trying to keep that ethos, like, alive and, like, just bring it back to the community again. Like,
yeah.
This magazine is, like, for you guys, basically.
Yeah,
and not just through surveys.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast. Made in Japan podcast is a donation-based podcast. If you feel like you are loving what you're listening to and you want to contribute to help out with me and the production of this podcast, please visit my Ko-fi page. It's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan Podcast. That's ko-fi.com/Made in Japan Podcast. I am excited to start this new year. And I guess this would be year number three. Yeah, it's in year number three of this podcast. And to start off this year, I am going to be talking to a really cool duo, the dynamic duo of Tokyo Weekender magazine. We're going to be hanging out with Nick Narrigan, the editor-in-chief of Tokyo Weekender magazine, and A1, Liam Ramshaw, who is the creative director of Tokyo Weekender magazine. And so we're going to hang out and chill out and just pick their brains about what's happening in that publication. I would definitely add that one thing that has been helping me out is, you know, we're talking February right now. February, Japan, 2021. You know, I just started doing the new social media app, Clubhouse. Clubhouse, I'm pretty much sure it just boomed in Japan this month, and I am loving it. And as a podcaster, and I think for all Japan-based podcasters, they should be on it, because I think it is a great new app that can really connect with the people, you know, audio-wise, and I think for some reason, I'm just having so much fun hanging out and just listening from people who live in Japan and people who are interested about whether they want to come and travel in Japan or just have some stories of their experiences of living in this country. It's just very fascinating, and I can see why it's growing in popularity during this COVID-19 times. And so, yeah. In any case, please, if you want to follow me, I am on Clubhouse. My handle is @MadeInJapanPod, and so, yeah, I'm sure I'm constantly. I don't think I'm there every day, but I do listen to a lot of chat rooms most days. So, but yeah, it that was something cool to learn about, which kind of made me I want to say kind of made me delay the editing of this episode, but hey, what can you do? It's a cool new app that I like. So, but yeah, let's move forward. Tokyo Weekender Magazine. This is the chat with Nick Narragan, editor-in-chief, and Liam Ramshaw, the creative director. What a blast it was. So yeah, it was good times, and yeah, without further ado, here we go.
Surprising that people allow me to go into their offices and just talk. Maybe it's just like, oh well, you know, got nothing better to do,
right?
Got some free time to hang out. and I appreciate it. I wish I could just buy you guys a pint, you know, and then just that's the idea.
No worries, one day
I'll keep it mental note on it.
Yes, it's so sick.
So
yeah, like space and venues are always a premium here. Like, whatever we're doing, like, be it photo shoots or video shoots, like, one of the most difficult things to do is trying to find, like, a place where we can go and do it, where they won't charge us any money, right?
And, well, the streets, right, in the corner intersections, you know, I don't know where you guys live, but the place, there's a lot of people, well, model shoots or, film shooting stuff in nearby neighborhood, and, I'm used to it now, but I remember when I first moved, I'm like, ooh, wow, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And now you're like, get out of the fucking way.
And you look like you really look like a creepy old dude. What do you see, like, young girls being, you know, taking photos at, and I'm like, sitting, I'm like, oh, maybe I should not be here.
Yeah. That's my old job. I used to ride my bike through Omote Sando.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my hair.
Yeah, yeah.
So, once a week, you can see some young girl, like, slinked up against the wall or something.
Right, right.
Three dudes standing around with her.
It's guerrilla photography, man. That's the way you gotta do it.
Oh my gosh, you guys remind me, there was this time I walked to my gym, and this was before pre-COVID-19, and I'm guessing they're not Japanese, maybe some other Asian country, maybe, I don't know, Chinese or Korean. Like, literally, they brought suitcases, dumped them on the road, like, in the middle of the road, flipped out their wardrobe, Maria Kondo style, like, and then there was a girl and two guys, and the girl was just changing her wardrobe while they were, like, taking a photo shoot in the middle of a suburban neighborhood. I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is insane. I'm like, this is their Instagram post for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, Nick, Liam, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
You know, first off, I just wanted to say, Liam.
Yes.
You have a very bold and confident family name, Ramshaw.
Indeed, yeah.
I am really more curious about, like, do you know anything about your history of the name Ramshaw?
Yeah. So basically, I'm English.
Sorry.
So I'm English, and my family are from, like, the north of England, right?
Yeah.
And basically, there's actually a small part in Newcastle called Ramshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a quick Google search,
you'll
find Ramshaw is famous for a couple of things. Number one is the Ramshaw Pony Sanctuary, and number two is the Ramshaw Crack.
Okay.
So maybe I should elaborate. Basically, it's kind of like a famous climbing wall.
Okay.
So basically, it's somewhat of a mountain. It's famous with, like, local climbers.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's a crack which is quite famous for climbing. So there you go.
Is there like a plaque?
Yeah,
like, welcome to the Ramshaw.
This is probably the most publicity that the small hamlet of Ramshaw has ever received.
Because even if you katakana your name, Ramshaw, it sounds so strong. I imagine, like, a Buddhist monk, like, doing incantations in the woods or by a waterfall, being like, Ramshaw, Ramshaw, and, like, you know.
cast magic missile lightning bolts from their fingers.
Right. Like, that area of England is, like, quite heavily influenced by Viking stuff.
Okay.
They basically came, settled, raped and pillaged and renamed everything.
Nice, okay.
So something to do with that, I think.
Okay.
Probably with rams and shoring them, I'm guessing.
Okay. Now, Nick, can you top your name, Marigan?
No, I don't know about that. Because I get asked that question here in Japan quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, if, you know, where does your name come from? But it's actually, what I tell people is actually it's really an American name.
Right, okay.
Because, I mean, the best we can tell is that the Narragans came to America from Germany pre-Revolutionary War, like back in the early 1700s.
Okay.
And, like, nobody can kind of tell. It was spelled differently at that point.
Yeah.
And then the spelling changed throughout the generations, and then I'm from Iowa.
Yeah.
And when my great-great-great-grandfather, who fought in the Civil War under, his name was spelled differently when he entered the war, and then we moved to Iowa, he changed the spelling of the name to the current spelling.
Oh, okay.
So literally, like, my family is the only one with the spelling of a last name. Like, if you do a Google search for Narragan, we're the only ones.
Dang.
Except in Spanish.
Are you guys strong?
It means, like, big nose.
Is the Narragan strong in the Iowa scene?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean... I have a few relatives, like, if you ask a politician, like, oh, that's your, do you know Donald Narragan? It's like, ah, oh, shit, yeah.
Don't vote for him.
Yeah. He's the only president of the Iowa Farm Bureau to get impeached.
How'd you impeach a farmer?
Yeah, exactly.
What on earth did he get up to?
Well,
something unsavory with rams.
Yeah, rams.
Well, I'm sure both of you are doing your family
rams
names
in the wrong spots. Yeah.
Both of you are definitely doing your family name proud. You know, Nick, prospectively, you're the editor in chief of the Tokyo Weekender. Liam, you're the creative director,
correct,
I believe,
leads,
right?
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I'm sure for most people who are probably interested in Japan, want to know more about how life is like in Tokyo and what's life in Japan and things that you can do. Tokyo Weekender is that magazine. And
thank you very much.
I really wanted to plug you guys because it's been a while for me since I've been reading up on Tokyo Weekender magazine. Until maybe like 2 years ago, I noticed that your artwork and the design. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's you, Liam, that
it
started
is indeed,
it.
Indeed, yes.
You are the magician.
Yeah, went through a rebranding.
Yeah.
About 2.5 years ago now, something like that.
Yeah.
Just basically to bring the magazine kind of like up to date to make it slightly more contemporary. So
slick move.
Thank you very much.
Literally a slick move.
Thank you very much.
So, what brings you to Japan, I guess? You know, I'm curious, like, were you recruited or.
Nick, do you want to go? We have a pretty similar story, actually.
Yeah.
Nick, do you want to.
Yeah, my wife went on a fishing excursion to find an American, and she caught me. I was a slow, dumb fish in America. I met my wife is Japanese, and we met in university.
Okay.
And then, so that's why.
That's what interesting. Okay. And then?
I was working on a job in New York, and I met my missus in the lobby of a hotel.
Interesting.
And both happened we were getting on the same flight to the next destination.
Yeah.
So we caught a taxi to the airport, and a couple of years after I was living in Japan and had two kids.
Wow.
So, okay. You know.
It's like, here you are.
Yeah, you know, go on a holiday, stay for a while, before you know it, you've got a mortgage and two kids.
That's what Tokyo does to you.
Yeah, right.
You don't listen, pay attention. If you don't pay attention, that's what you're just like, whoa, wait, I'm married.
Pretty much. Tokyo is full of men like us, I feel.
So when both of you first met for working in Tokyo Weekender, what was your first impressions of each other?
How long did we meet?
Well, you interviewed me for my job.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Liam, you've been here 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I started 3 years ago, right around the same time.
Okay.
The rebranding.
Okay.
When the rebrand was launched. And
I remember. Because like we interviewed you, and then we had our launch party, like maybe like the next week after that. Like, just when you were hired, didn't you?
Yeah, I stopped by and spilled ketchup on my shirt. Said hello.
Slick move.
Yeah.
Welcome to your interview.
Yeah.
It's like, glad to be hired, that young up-and-comer.
Sorry, I just had a American corn dog from 7-Eleven before this.
American dog.
Yeah. It's like, this kid's going places.
Yeah. We need you.
It's the one Japanese word my dad knows. American
building. Well, so, what was your impression of Liam then?
No, I was excited to work for Liam. I mean, we sat down and obviously the magazine had just undergone, the redesign. It was really exciting to, be part of what they were doing.
Okay. Now, with the redone, revamping of the magazine, what was your intention? I know you were going for the sleek look, but what was the intention? Not the theme, but like, what was the direction that you were trying to head with Tokyo Weekend?
It was basically like, the magazine obviously has been going like 50 years, right?
Yeah.
And like, we hadn't had like a proper rebranding for maybe since like, before I started working at the magazine, like in the 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So basically, it's me and our previous editor, like Amory, sitting around, like drinking cups of tea.
Yeah.
It's where we came up with most of our ideas. We're just sitting there, like one day after the magazine went to print, it's like, we should rebrand, And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, just wanted to bring the brand slightly more up to date, make it a little more contemporary, and make it a little bit nicer, basically.
Right. It's very, I gravitate towards like seeing something like out of like an art magazine.
Yes.
And that's what I was interested in when I started reading that. I'm like, okay, what's going on in the weekend? I'm into, whether it's a performance. I wish I could go to a performance now.
Right.
Like an art exhibit, right?
Yeah.
That's something that was needed. You know, when you go to other, whether it's other newspaper publications in English, like I don't really get that sense of like, someone knows what's going on in Tokyo, It's always like usually a translation of like, hey, there's the,
Right.
You know? But yeah. Anyways, let's go back to the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
My last name, Catalan.
Yeah.
My dad was always like, really, how do I say? He was really like pushing us. I'm from a family of five children, right?
Wow.
We immigrated to the States. And he's like, be proud of your name. It's Catalan. Don't tell, because like when I would go to school, people would be like, Catalan?
Yeah.
Melho?
Yeah.
Catalan? And he'd be like, be proud of your name, Catalan. So I was like, always been kind of embarrassed about how, like, correcting people's pronunciation of my name, Catalan. And then for some reason, it was like automatic. I had to be a FC Barcelona fan. Even though I never learned the rules of soccer until I was like 12 years old.
Well, lucky for you, they're not a bad team.
Yeah. And I was watching, like, all right, cool, Barcelona, Catalan. Now, I want to know, you guys, how's it going this past year? It's been tough for everybody, COVID-19 times. What's it like? I mean, professionally and or privately, what's going on?
I mean, we pretty much had to change what we're doing overnight. We really almost literally, we changed the one magazine, the weekend before, 1 week before we went to print.
Right.
Is that April?
That's right, yeah.
April magazine.
Basically, Japan last year, it was like, everything's fine, Olympics gets cancelled, everything's not fine.
Yeah.
And literally, like, 2 days later, we're all working from home, going like, what
is going on?
Yeah, exactly. Where is everybody?
Someone just pressed the OSHA button.
Yeah. It went from, don't worry, it's all cool, to...
Yeah. Are you on Zoom or Google Meets? Where are we meeting?
Where are you?
Yeah, it was weird, man. It's weird. Like, basically, everybody's entire working structure got changed upside down.
Okay.
Obviously, we have to change the content of, like, the entire magazine.
Yeah, so that's where you're going up for the Olympics. Like, everything
was... Everything was revving up, yeah.
It was our 50th anniversary last year. We had this huge party planned at Hampoen, But I had, like, you know, the great and the good of, like, Japanese, like, society coming to celebrate with us. Yeah. It's like...
We're having debates whether it's going to be a black tie affair.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
that's how big we're going.
Make it, okay. Grandiose.
I was pretty adamant that everybody's wearing tuxedos.
Gotta look sharp.
And literally, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, everybody's in their sweats. On a Google Meet. Everybody's got ketchup down their shirts.
Yes, exactly. Coffee and ketchup.
Coffee and ketchup on your clothes.
Kids crying in the background.
Oh, yeah. We got to know each other's kids very well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the construction going on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe people's apartments.
Or interior decorating.
Yeah, right.
The best is, like, you would have meetings and, like, you know, one family member would be just walking behind in their underwear, just passing by. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
That's my life now.
And it really forced us to, like, look at who our audience is and how we're meeting the needs of our audience.
Right.
And prior to that, and like I said, you know, we're just, you know, with Japan's tourism increasing and the Olympics coming, everything was focused on that, like travel, introducing Japan. And we, you know, Tokyo Weekender has always been focused on Tokyo and the local community here.
Yeah.
And so we really had to focus on that again, you know, this last year.
You guys do a really good job blending that balance. I think it's a very tricky balance to be very, you know, welcome to Japan in your face influence, as opposed to also being, okay guys, for the people who haven't been living here for a long time, here's what's happening, you know, this is the situation, here's the scene that's going on. And I think that balance is really, really tough for any type of publication, right? Even for this type of medium too.
I mean, right.
How do I do this? Like, so, is it still difficult now for you to continue that balance?
A bit, but I think actually the pandemic forced us to focus on that a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, really target, you know, our content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the term I use is hyperlocal, and we learned that after actually Lehman Shock was, I worked for a small newspaper, and we were actually profitable afterwards because we essentially had a niche market.
Okay.
And they created this term called hyperlocal, where essentially you're reporting on your backyard.
Okay.
You know, you're the only one reporting on what's happening in your town, in your neighborhood.
Right.
This is something we actually kind of started doing before the pandemic, was focusing, you know, increasing our area guides, you know, like what's happening in, you know, Shinjuku, Shibuya, but also other places like Oshiage, Ariake,
right?
You know, what's happening in your backyard.
Mm.
And so it's something that's valuable to people here living in Tokyo, no matter how long you've been here, but then also, you know, I think more tourists, I mean, you can find information on regular tourist sites, but I think, especially foreign tourists, when they come to Tokyo, they want to find things that are off the grid a bit.
Okay.
So that's, you know, kind of where our focus is, because thankfully we have a talented staff and,
right,
you know, the writers who have been here for years and know, you know, Japan like the back of their hands, and so we're, you know, hopefully able to fill that.
Is it hard to, because, you know, nowadays, I didn't mention this before with previous guests, but I sometimes tell people who just recently moved to Japan, it's quite easy for new people to just, like, rock into Tokyo and have all this information and you know, wherever they get their sources of, like, where to go, what to do.
Mm.
But, like, is it what's the challenge with Tokyo Weekender? Because, as for me, I know you guys, I know your publication, but, like, for the new people, how can you, like, help them out, you know, instead of just... Because there's a lot of, it's difficult to filter, you know, like, for example, like a YouTuber or a blogger coming in, and they're like, hey guys, welcome to a day in the life of, and then this is what I did today, and this is what, you know, so things like that. Like, how do you kind of filter through that noise and that cloud?
I mean, it is difficult. I mean, certainly there's so, like, people these days are so bombarded with, like, different options when it comes to media. And it's, like, when we first moved to Tokyo, I mean, like, those things didn't really exist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You would basically be, like, picking up free magazines to find out what was happening.
Exactly.
This weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So basically, you have to make content which is, like, a little bit different from, like, how everybody else is doing it and things like that.
Right.
And I guess, like, our advantage is, like, we've been around here a while, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we're not influencers on holiday.
Right.
Like, we're people who know the neighborhoods, like the bar owners, box,
ruin everything.
Involuntary knee spasm.
I want to congratulate you guys when you do these in Tokyo Weekender because I'll be honest, it doesn't, when you read your articles, when I read them, it doesn't sound elitist at all. It doesn't sound you're coming from a higher pedestal. And that's the real gist that I want to read whenever I want to get some information what's happening in Tokyo. So, but it's kind of tough now, right? I agree. It's kind of tough.
It's a lot of noise.
And, you know, I would imagine like influencers that started overseas and come to Japan and they're just bringing their army. And they're just saying, this is what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think for us, we're more about building the communities. That's kind of our motive, really.
Okay.
Like, building local communities. And, like, that goes from everyone from, like, our readers to, like, people who contribute to the magazine as well.
Right.
Like, again, like, our writers, like, our photographers, people who do videos for us, you know. The people who've made lives here, right?
So what is the next step, guys? What are some ideas for that? Building the community.
I mean, this is really exciting. Like, from last year, when we couldn't, like, get out and do stories and things like that, what we started doing is... we started off doing, like, a quarantine lockdown party online.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we used, like, our social media channels, like our Instagram and our Facebook, to do, like rebroadcast concerts. So we had contributors like from like local musicians, it's like super, super talented people would like submit like DJ sets,
stand-up comedy.
Yeah, stand-up comedy, like all sorts of things. We sort of like compiled them together and started to broadcast them on our social media channels, and they went down really, really well.
We did, yeah. We had a few thousand views, but then also Andrew Sloman.
He ended up,
he's a singer-songwriter, very talented, and you know, getting over 300,000 views for his Facebook video.
Okay, exactly.
He ended up signing a record contract.
I'm not saying that's entirely.
Yeah,
that's
and that's,
to us,
we're,
but
we're gonna take
I don't
credit.
Take a price credit.
He didn't tell us, but he said thank you.
Remember us.
Anyway,
I mean, anybody listening, make sure to go and check out our Facebook page because they're all still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly pay attention to the Halloween special where Nick is dressed up as a panda.
Yes.
Smashing chew highs.
Yes. And eating bug snacks.
Eating bug snacks, yeah.
With Josiah Hawley, who was on there.
Seriously, that was
a voice contestant.
Huge comment. That was,
we're still waiting for it to go viral, but it was fun.
I don't know. You can still rock a chew highs? I can't do it, man.
I can't
do it.
That makes for a rough morning.
I don't know how you feel.
Basically, we were in the basement of a furniture shop in Nakamegara.
Where is this? That's my neighborhood.
It's a place called Garrett Interior.
Right.
And it's Nakamegara.
Yeah.
And the place is like, it's stunningly beautiful.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
It's got like
retro.
vintage retro furniture.
Yeah, American furniture. American style furniture.
I think is it near the Meguro Ginza, the shopping street?
No, it's like, it's
a bit of a side street.
Yeah, it's about ten minutes out from the station.
Okay.
But super nice guy, and he lets us record our videos there.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
He lets us come in and take over his shop.
Yeah. So basically, like a bunch of us piled in there, shot the video.
Asahi beer and chew
high. It's a dangerous mix.
With Nick dressed in a panda costume.
Yeah.
And like trying to explain to our bosses this is actually work.
Yeah. And my wife.
Yeah, right.
No, my wife and I work side by side at home. Whenever she captures a glimpse of my computer screen, she's like, what do you do for work?
Yeah.
Are you working? Especially when the pandas had arrived in the mail.
And I get the feeling a bunch of our managers are like, what the fuck are we paying these guys for?
Who brought them in?
Yeah.
One of the
next, that's like
what
the
have
next,
we done?
Your next company board meeting. That's like the main topic.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
brought these dudes in?
I think that's been the topic
for years.
So basically, this the entire company was sort of kind of like it emerged from like when the Olympics got announced
yeah.
in Japan.
Yeah.
Well, it must have been like 8 years ago now. Mm. Something like that. There's kind of a rush for like local. Like PR companies, like we've got to get more foreigner friendly.
Mm.
So, like our old company BC Media, which ran the Tokyo Weekend, got bought up by a company called Sunnyside Up.
Okay.
They're one of the biggest PR firms in Japan, right? Mm. And I think probably the only reason for that was like we need some foreigners.
We need some foreigners.
Yeah,
we're still the quota.
Yeah.
And ask that
yeah.
how
that,
much I know
that.
It's a good job security.
Yeah. Gao was bored. They're like, so we went to their offices and we were put on like the 7th floor.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really knew what to do with us. They're like, well, fucking was just stick them
just
in
the corner. Corner.
They seem to be pretty happy.
Yeah. Put up a little partition so we don't see them.
But it's nuts, like when the people giving like tours to clients, they used to bring them down to the floor and be like, this is where we keep the foreigners.
like a coward, you rally them into the lobby.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, if you wave them, they wave back. So they're doing a monkey routine, going like, totally worth it.
That's so funny.
But yeah, no, that's kind
look
of
how
like,
progressive we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The media's there, like, trying to take a picture.
We have diversity.
Yeah.
We have diversity.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, you know, you've got to make a living somehow, right?
Exactly.
But it, you know, on the benefit side, you got the freedom. You got your.
This was the best thing.
Ability,
we
tools,
pretty
right?
much left
yeah.
alone to do as we please, which is brilliant, to be honest.
And that's yep. what you do with creatives, like.
Yeah, no, like
yeah.
so.
They've put a lot of trust in us.
In that respect, like I'm so thankful this whole thing happened.
And you know, I think this is not a coincidence, and it's not. It's been a great. I would say, you know, I've only been in Japan for. 15 years now, but I'm seeing this and then the business culture side of it. This has been a slowly gradual thing for the traditional in terms of the traditional business structure in the companies where of course yeah there is a sense of people behind it, you know, we gotta fill up that diversity quota, but at the same time I've been noticing especially the giants of different companies and different industries, they are doing a lot of investment of bringing in the creative side and whether not just Japanese but like just bringing in a creative side and then let them whether they form a subsidiary or they form a little new division and just let them be where they what they do and it took a while for I'm guessing decades for many of these giant companies to like realize that works, you know? So I'm guessing this is not something that's been, you know, an overnight thing.
Yeah. It's been a long, hard struggle, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Corporate Japan's ability to, like, change its ways, especially when it comes to, like, marketing and advertising.
Yeah, right. It will. It's just going to, you know, it's just going to do it Japan's pace, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work.
I was reading that book by Steve Alpert. He was the only gaijin at Ghibli.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And it's very interesting compared to what he was doing back in the late 80s, early 90s, compared to what we're doing now. It's just night and day. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
He must have been working like an ox, like, draw.
Well, he was an executive. It was interesting. He wasn't an illustrator, but he was on the business side. But
I see.
What he was given to do was basically don't screw up everybody else's work.
Yeah.
That's his direction. Like, here's your office.
Right.
Don't
do anything.
Yeah.
Like, just
don't,
don't try and change anything, you meddlesome. It's like... There is kind of the mentality is like, just whatever you do, just don't do anything different, then everybody will be happy. It's worked for like, you know,
right,
the best part of 50 years. And to be fair, it has.
Right.
But yeah, just don't try and change anything.
Right. And the other part of it is, you know, for the past decade or so, there's a lot of Japanese that are willing to take risks to start their own business or venture.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was something like, during the time of that, what's his name, Mr.
Alpert?
That was like considered suicide for many people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so like it's been a while, and there, you know, I'm noticing this as I do this podcast for the past couple of years. I'm noticing you can feel it in the guests I see. You can feel like how the culture, whatever capacity they're in, you can feel that, okay, I can take that risk, I can take that chance. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think in Tokyo in particular, the amount of, like, creative people, it's just astounding, right?
It is.
It's, like, one of the best places in the world to be as a creative, I think.
Right.
And, like, the local, like, arts and culture scene is, like, it's amazing.
Right.
And it's only now that it's, sort of, like, becoming more prominent overseas, right? And I think that's part of the reason why things are changing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the corporate Japan realize it can sort of like capitalize and monetize on this like sudden interest in like Japanese culture,
right?
Start to spring up like all over the world,
right?
And I think maybe the younger generation, this is a generalization, but you know, maybe more people in our generation, Japanese have been overseas, and studied overseas, worked for more international companies, kind of see how it's been done, and bringing that experience back here, and
very true.
Creating a new ecosystem for creative work.
And I mean, just to riff off that, I also think part of it is also a sense of like the younger generation now, the Japanese, they were probably predicting like, well, I don't want to do one job for the rest of my life,
right?
Kind of vibe. And they're just like, well, you know, open up myself, you know. I think this just maybe it's my opinion, but I think the younger generation has been leaning to be more conservative recently compared to when I came, but I think it's helping them to try to be more as creative and try to imagine what else can I do, you know.
And too, it's not so much to get that mindset of, you know, the company, you know, taking care of, the companies can't take care of
it doesn't really exist anymore.
You gotta work.
You gotta
pay for your own house. Oh man, you guys know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about.
I mean, like, you know, days go by, you join a company after university, and it's pretty much done until you retire, isn't it?
Exactly. You don't have to pay for anything, you don't have to.
You don't have to choose where you go on holiday, right, basically, because you're going to the company's yacht and...
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to make any choices. It's, I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, I want to continue talking to you guys, but but one of my things I wanted to talk about is the future of Tokyo Weekender. I noticed on your app, you talked to, I think maybe it was a tweet. Oh, sorry, I didn't follow it. I don't follow you on Twitter, but like maybe it was a tweet or Instagram. Like you did like a survey, posting a survey about like what do you want to see in Tokyo Weekender. I think that's a cool thing. Do you want to talk more about that, that survey?
Well, it's part of just, again, the community building. I mean, it's constant. I mean, especially when we talk about an online component and a magazine component. Our magazine's pretty stable. You know, we try to, you know, keep our brand identity. But when you're talking about online component, you know, it's constantly a moving target to a degree. You know, we got social media and a website. I mean, the audience is constantly shifting. Depending on what happens to be Facebook's algorithm that day. And so, you know, we're trying to really figure out, you know, who is our base audience online, and what is it they're interested in, how can we provide a service that and it's, you know, something that's never, you can never rest on your laurels, especially when it comes to online.
Exactly. I mean, like, basically, like Nick said, it's all about building a community, right? And one of the most important ways to do that is just find out what people want to hear about. You know, make them feel part of the Tokyo Weekender. Because in the end, that's essentially what the brand is all about, right? Like, from the very beginning,
You know, Tokyo Weekends have started out as like a free paper for like a very, very small Gaijin expat community, like back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And basically, we're just trying to keep that ethos like alive and like just bring it back to the community again. Like, this magazine is like for you guys, basically.
Yeah,
and not just your surveys.
Hey guys.
I mean, that's also what we're trying to do is find out, you know, because we used to have, you know, Tokyo Weekender parties. You know, we'd have a big.
Do you remember parties?
Remember those?
Yeah.
Remember those when we used to stand around and drink together?
You just add booze at a nice place and people will just come.
Yeah, right.
And network and.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
I would have loved to meet you, Nick, for the first time in a panda suit. Crushing Strong Zero two highs.
Yeah. You have some different stories,
man. Whoa, I definitely don't want to interview this guy.
Those magical days.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, so we talk about the future of Tokyo Weekender. I mean, that's what we're trying to explore, too. We've done a few, like, so we have our Insiders Club members, and we try to, you know, treat them as our VIPs, and they used to be the ones who get, like, the invites to these, like, parties and dinners that we can no longer do, so we're trying to create, you know, new functions where, you know, people can still network, still be part of a community, and still grow their own community here in Tokyo, so... Is it online? Is it, you know, smaller gatherings? You know, what can we? We've done a few workshops. Been an illustrator. Kayleen Fall, she's an illustrator.
Okay.
And we went to Art Bar, who graciously, you know, donated us a space again, which is, you know, space is key.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we invited five Insiders Club members. They spent an afternoon just making some dango pictures.
Right.
It was successful. I mean, it was, you know, five people, and it sold out really quickly. So it's like, okay, so what can we do next to keep, you know, keep people's, you know, life in Tokyo?
Until the bars open again, the champagne starts to flow. It seems like a lot of what we're getting done is going to be broadcast online.
Yeah,
but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
Well, anyways, guys, I really, Liam, Nick, it's just been awesome that you guys had me over and, you know, have you pick your brain about what's the deal with Tokyo Weekender. And I believe you guys can keep going and grow the scene, the community in Tokyo. Well,
it's going to be a big year for us.
Oh, you know it. Just put in the work. Just put in the work.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, right,
we can sit around in meeting rooms and talk ideas all day.
Yeah,
at some point, somebody actually has to do the work.
But yeah, thank you guys. Cheers.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, it was really great.
Peace.
A big shout out to Liam and Nick for having me come down to their office and basically steal some of their time away from their work and have a chat with them. I didn't say this before, but I knew while we were talking, their sales division was waiting for the meeting room that they reserved. I was pretty much basically going overtime and postponing their sales meeting, which is kind of a taboo thing in Japan, but hey, what can you do? You can find all the information of Tokyo Weekender magazine. The Japan's oldest and the best Tokyo Weekend magazine that shows all the information of anything that's happening in and about the city. Find them on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. And I will put their website link down in the episode show notes. You're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. Hit me up on my Instagram and Facebook at Made in Japan podcast. Or if you want, you can feel free to send me a question, a comment, or concern to my email. And that is It's japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. And also, make sure to, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, hit that, you know, like and subscribe button. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, give me a comment or review. It does help a lot to make sure that this podcast is worthwhile content. Yeah, it's going to be back for this new year. And I just want to thank all of you once again for listening to this podcast. And it's great to hear the comments through various mediums, how much they are into this podcast. So it gets me really fired up to keep going. So stay tuned. I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks with another guest. And so for you, everybody, take care, and I will talk to you later. Peace out.